reflection on loving kindness. The Buddha taught throughout his life that the practice of loving kindness was central to happiness here and now, and happiness in the future. That the practice of loving kindness is a blameless practice. Its fruits are all positive. There are no negative byproducts. He left us with several detailed discourses on loving kindness and how to practice them. The word loving kindness is an English translation of the ancient Pali language, the word metta. Metta has its root friendliness. So friendliness is really what we're talking about when we speak of loving kindness. A profound, deep friendliness towards other beings and towards oneself. This quality of friendliness has to be generated in the mind and practiced often and cultivated. People often feel that such emotions as loving kindness or deep friendliness need to arise spontaneously, that they shouldn't be exercised, that they just happen, or that they drop into your mind from heaven or some other place. But the Buddha emphasizes again and again that although this is a heavenly state, a sublime abiding, a divine condition of the mind and the heart, it happens from you, not to you. You are the maker of your own heaven. The Buddha gave the discourse on loving kindness, and it's very interesting to look at it because the first quarter of the teaching on loving kindness are preliminaries to loving kindness. What has to be done before you can satisfactorily have a basis for practicing in loving kindness? He begins by saying, "This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace." Skilled in goodness. We have to know what is skillful thought, what is unskillful thought, what is skillful speech, what is unskillful speech, what is skillful action, what is unskillful action. To know the path of peace is to know the Noble Eightfold Path, in which are explained as well what is skillful thought, speech, and action, and what is unskillful thought, speech, and action. So this knowledge is required for the regulated generation of loving kindness, a solid basis for the practice of loving kindness requires some wisdom and knowledge. The Buddha continues, "Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech." Able and upright is, of course, kind of virtue, a kind of attitude, straightforward. It's again a quality of character, a lack of deviance, a lack of cunning and conniving, but being upfront, straightforward, but with the reminder that one, as well as being upright and straightforward, is gentle in speech. The speech is true, but beneficial. These are also foundations for loving kindness. Humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, the Buddha continues. Humility is a lack of ego. It's a kind of flexibility. The grass is often compared to humility. A brittle tree is compared to rigidity, conceit. And when the wind comes to blow, it is likely that the brittle tree shall break and that the grass shall bend and have no difficulty with the wind, because it's low and flexible. So the low and ego, flexible personality is not disturbed by reports from reality, either about themselves or about others, because they haven't invested themselves with false dimensions, enlarged themselves inappropriately. And so they have little suffering. They are to be contented and easily satisfied. Contentment and satisfaction allow room for the generation of an emotion like loving kindness. If one is constantly filled with ambition and the tension that goes with ambition, the drive to accumulate, the drive to have power and things, doesn't leave room for the peaceful, expansive, gentle nature of loving kindness. So it is the two mutually exclusive types of mind state, to be discontented and demanding, as opposed to the atmosphere of loving kindness. The Buddha then reminds us that one should be unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways. Well, in the household life, it is sometimes difficult to be unburdened by duties. In the monastic life, that's certainly an ideal to seek, a simple life in a small cottage or meditation dwelling without too many duties. But it is something also to be aspired to, really, in the household life, not to merely clutter your life with frantic activity, thinking that the mere rushing about and doing things is wise or profitable, to undertake to maintain duties that are proper and necessary, helpful to others and to oneself, but without merely distracting oneself continuously. The cultivation of loving kindness requires that the mind is somewhat undistracted. Frugality is simply one of the ways which you will allow yourself to have more time, not to be reckless in the spending of money, the accumulating of things, but to be modest and moderate, know what's appropriate and what's not, what's necessary and what is frivolous, just so that the mind is not burdened, that one has time and space to cultivate what's truly lasting and truly valuable. Peaceful and calm and wise and skillful. Peace and calm of mind are also foundations for the development of loving kindness. And the reverse, loving kindness is the foundation for peace and calm. So if you want to practice a calming meditation, quite often it's helpful to start with loving kindness. If you want to practice loving kindness, it's often helpful to start with a calming meditation. They support mutually each other. One should wish that in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease. This is the essential wish of loving kindness, of friendliness, that may beings be glad, safe, and at ease. Then there's a series of categories so that the Buddha makes sure that you include all beings. There's no restrictions. Whatever living beings there may be, omitting none. Weak, strong, great, medium, small, the seen and the unseen, living near or far away, the born and to be born, those in the womb, may all beings be at ease, and the wish again that beings may not deceive each other, let them not despise other beings, let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. So we wish that they also may have loving kindness. And the final simile, which sums it up, the picture that the Buddha paints is the beautiful line, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, to the skies, to the depths, outwards, unbounded, without any ill will. So the simile of the affection of the mother for her only child, one of the great bonds of life. One protects with one's life. One helps. One encourages the positive, discourages negativity. And one should explore and find out that the nature of that, the kindness of the mother for her only child. And then the Buddha describes how this and when this should be practiced. Whether standing, walking, seated, or lying down, one should sustain this recollection. So, the posture is not important. It is a thing that one does with one's mind, whether just before going to sleep, just upon waking up, whether in the middle of the day at work, whether sitting quietly in the forest, whether in the meditation room with a group, whether alone. One can practice. One can sustain this recollection, recollecting one's attitude. This is said to be the sublime abiding, a heaven here and now, cultivated and generated through one's own mind. And it's through one's own mind and no other way that one produces the refinement of consciousness which corresponds to heaven. So it answers many, many things, many needs and wants in our life, the generation of loving kindness. But it is our responsibility to generate this. It is not dependent on who loves us. It is dependent on us generating love unconditionally for others. So, in meditation, bring up these images of the mother and loving her child, radiating outward from oneself outward through other beings, or beginning with other beings, radiating towards oneself. You can begin with beings who you have a natural affection for, and then radiate slowly out towards those who are more distant from you. Or you can radiate loving kindness to the vast universe itself. These are all mere suggestions, techniques. There are no rules for this. All that we want to understand is, does it work? And what works well for me? Images, poems, songs, all of these things may work for different people, and one is left to explore one's own techniques, whatever helps. And that is the process of meditation. You cannot over-meditate, and loving kindness is always appropriate. It is not a disadvantage in the world. The Buddha lists 11 benefits from the practice of loving kindness. And I will quote to end this meditation the entire discourse on the benefits of loving kindness. The Buddha was talking to the monks, and he said, "O monks, there are 11 benefits from loving kindness that arises from the emancipation of the heart. If repeated, developed, made much of, made a habit of, made a basis for, experienced, practiced, well started, these 11 benefits are expected. One sleeps well. One wakes up well. One does not have nightmares. One becomes affectionate to human beings. One becomes affectionate to non-human beings. The deities protect one. Neither fire, nor poison, nor weapons harm one. One's mind is easily calmed. One's countenance is serene. One dies without confusion. Beyond that, if one fails to attain nirvana, one is reborn in the higher heavens." These are, without doubt, benefits to be earnestly hoped for in one's life. And we can see that the loving kindness is not something to be occasionally reflected on, but repeated, developed, made much of, made a habit of, practiced, in order that it does have these benefits. If it's a fragmentary practice, it'll have fragmentary results. If it's a deeply steeped into the bones practice, that will have a deep and profound result. It is a protection for yourself and a protection for others. Both to the mind, it is conducive to a great stability and sanity, and also for the body. It ensures one's maximum enjoyment of this life and predisposes one to an optimal fate after death. So I leave you with these words, images from the Buddha on the practice of loving kindness or profound friendliness. May you be well, happy, and peaceful.